current state on 90.5 WKAR. The population of an invasive snail here in the Great Lakes Basin may be increasing, according to a new study. Researchers from 10 universities, including Central Michigan and Grand Valley State, have found faucet snails in more areas along the Great Lakes coastline than experts previously thought. And our Melissa Benmark can tell us more. Hi, Melissa.
You know, Mark, I feel bad because I there were two things that about this that I was not able to clear up. Well, one I could, but the one was I'm not sure why they're called faucet snails.
Okay.
And that's kind of the first thing that people want to know. The snails are actually a concern for animals further up the food chain, like ducks, with which we are familiar, and coots, which I was not familiar with. And if you're I'm
kind of a bird watcher, so I'm familiar with coots.
Okay, so actually. Yeah, they look kind of like a cross between a duck and a loon.
Right.
Okay, so if they eat the snails, there can be problems with that, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. The signs of the snail are not considered too dire yet, but they are something to watch. And I spoke with one of the researchers for more about these faucet snails yesterday. Carl Reitz is a professor at GVSU's Annis Water Resources, and I asked him when the invasive snails actually arrived in our neck of the woods.
You know, I'm not sure that we know when they got to the Great Lakes, but as far as I can tell, it looks like scientists think they arrived in North America in the 1870s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so a long, quite a while ago. And from what I read, it sounds like they were brought here unintentionally, you know, in some kind of cargo, maybe lumber.
Like most of the invasives that we've had.
Right, right.
So why are they in the news at this time?
Well, it's because this project that we're involved with is a large ecological monitoring project with 10 universities and Environment Canada involved. And the goal is to monitor all Great Lakes, all large Great Lakes coastal wetlands in the entire Great Lakes Basin. And the purpose of the project is to provide sort of an ecological baseline and to help managers make more informed decisions about wetland management. With respect especially to protection and restoration. So protection being the data we're going to collect will really help them identify what are the most pristine wetlands in the entire Great Lakes Basin. And then also help them identify wetlands that are in need of restoration. And also if they do a restoration effort, the baseline data that we're going to have will be really valuable in evaluating how successful those restorations are. And then sort of a nice byproduct of that is one of the things we've recently noticed was we were coming across these faucet snails in our sampling more often than we had expected based on, if you look at the USGS maps, of they track invasive species. And, you know, based on their maps, they didn't look like they were that prevalent in the Great Lakes Basin, but we were finding them, you know, more than we had expected.
So, just to make sure I'm clear here, they're in wetlands. They're not specifically in the lakes.
Well, so we're working in coastal wetlands. So the wetlands we're doing are, you know, directly attached to the Great Lakes. But yeah, we're sampling like shallow areas. Like pretty much every place that we sample, you know, is probably less than a meter deep.
But it is fairly close to the lakes, so there's.
Yeah. I mean, and really the wetlands are just, you know, in a lot of places, the Great Lakes wetlands is just the interface between the Great Lake and the land, right?
Right. So why is there any thought so far as to why there seem to be more of them than were originally thought?
Not really. As far as I can tell, it's not clear if this is a case of, you know, people hadn't looked for them, and, you know, we're doing this large comprehensive study, so we're looking for, you know, lots of things, and so, you know, one of those is finding these, or if they're on the rise. I don't think we know that yet, but I think that sort of speaks to the value of this project and that when it's done, we're going to have this nice baseline so that in the future when people, you know, if they find either this snail or some other invasive species, they'll be able to go back and say, well, did we find it at our site? And if we did, you know, they can evaluate whether those are whether the species is spreading or, you know, increasing in abundance, those sorts of things.
So it's kind of, is it new or is it normal? Kind of will give you the study will give you a sense of that.
Yeah, it gives you a sense of, you know, is this something that, you know, have they always been here at these low numbers, or is this, you know, for some reason, are they spreading and becoming more abundant? I don't think we have a good answer for that.
So describe kind of what they look like and where they like to hang out.
The snails are, I mean, they're fairly small, you know, 12 to 15 millimeters. So that's, you know, less than an inch. You know, a lot of them are probably, if you think about the diameter of a penny, you know, they're not even half that size. And, you know, they're sort of a dark colored snail. And you're just going to find them, you know, probably more common on sort of rocks. Snails tend to be more abundant on rocks.
One thing I wondered, though, also is, like with the zebra mussels, another invasive, you know, they have this thing about getting crusted onto water intake grates and things like that. Do we know if the snails do this?
Not to my knowledge. I don't think that is the case. And at least at the wetland sites that we're talking about, you know, I just know from, like, we were finding very few. And I don't have the data for the entire basin. I only have the six sites that my team found the snails at. But at our sites, which were Saginaw Bay, a couple sites in Lake Michigan, and then one in Lake Erie, you know, the densities we were finding range just from like a single individual up to maybe 26 individuals in our sample. So it wasn't like, you know, they were exceptionally abundant.
So apparently one of the concerns about this faucet snail is that there are some intestinal flukes that if a duck or a coot eats the snail, the fluke attacks the internal organ. I know I'm not using really probably the right technical language, but have you seen cases of that? Are people finding dying birds, like, you know, for instance, when we've had West Nile or that kind of thing?
Yeah, no, not that I know of. I know that that is sort of the concern with this, the fact that we're finding it. I mean, I think that would be the thing that as we make this information available to managers, you know, we'd want sort of put this on their radar screen so they can be on the lookout for this. But as far as we know, you know, as of now, that hasn't manifested into any kind of a detectable trend.
I was looking at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources site, and they said that this intestinal fluke basically causes hemorrhagic internal bleeding, and that the birds, like, look funny and they have trouble diving and flying and stuff. Just on the outside chance that somebody notices it, something like that, who should they tell?
You know, whenever you see that something in nature that just seems kind of odd to you, especially with, you know, with the snails and fish or that sort of thing, you would want to contact Fisheries Division of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources for folks here in Michigan. So I would say your local state agency.
Even if it's if you saw ducks, you would call the fisheries people?
No, if it was ducks, then I would probably call the Wildlife Division.
Okay.
If you think you found the snail, or if you do find something unusual, you'd want to contact the Michigan Department of Natural Resources.
So basically, where does it go from here? You guys take your numbers, and then the next group comes along and in a couple years and sees if there are more or less of these snails at the sites you studied, or where does it go from here?
Well, I mean, I think our hope is that by making this information available, that, you know, one, it'll I guess there's a twofold in terms of what we hope will come of it. One is that we'll make managers aware of this, so, you know, folks at the Michigan DNR or other state or federal agencies, as they're doing their work, you know, we'll have updated this USGS database, so they'll have a better, you know, have a better idea of where the snail is occurring in the Great Lakes Basin, and to keep it in mind, you know, if they do in their own sampling, or, you know, if they do find dying water birds or something along those lines. And then also, you know, by making this sort of thing available, hopefully we'll get other researchers and even researchers in our team more interested in it to, you know, start studying, you know, answering some of these questions about, you know, are these snails on the spread? What could the ecological effects be? Is there anything we can do about it? You know, start working at those. So really, I think, you know, this result is just sort of a first step in the process.
Dr. Carl Reitz, thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.